Okay, friends, and it is really special to have Joe and Risha's family here. So we do really, really love it that you could come again. We've had you before, and we'd like to see you again. So it's nice to have you here. And you're the great-grandmother, is that right? So how many? Oh, we have two of them. That's way too many. So two great-grandmothers. So how many great-grandchildren? You've got about, you know, hey, on a good day. You have 10 and 9, you think. Oh, that's excellent. Can I ask you two how old you are? Have you got that one? Just a ballpark figure. Beg your pardon? Oh, you like to forget it. Well, how old have we got over here? How old are you, my dear? You're 89. And how old are you? You're 86, you think. Okay. Oh, no, it's great. So, thanks for coming. Okay. Yes, as I say, I don't know how things will come out this morning. So if they come out, when you've been on general anaesthetic during the week, you know, you just don't know how things are going to come out, do you? So if it doesn't come out right this morning, don't shoot me after the service. Just shoot me next year. There's a bit of a joke, I thought, you know, one week I was a doctor and the next week I was a patient. It's true. So for those who don't know, I was awarded a PhD recently, and so I thought, you know, one week you're a doctor and the next week you're a patient. So there you go. And I wasn't going to speak this morning, actually. I had to take a wedding yesterday morning, and I was down to speak this morning, and I thought, well, I'm not really up to it. But I don't know, I opened my Psalms on, I think it was Thursday, and on that Thursday morning, it had a phrase there, to keep your oaths even though it hurts. So I thought, I shall press ahead and do what I have to do. And I do have something on my heart, actually, to say this morning. So, but thank you so much for those who texted and emailed. I mean, you really do see the value of belonging to a local community. When you lose a loved one, or you're sick, or when you gain something, you know, and you're blessed. Similarly, people celebrate with you when you celebrate, but they cry with you when you cry. And yeah, it's good to belong to a church, isn't it? Is that right? It really is. Okay, so Mark chapter 2, actually, if you've got your Bibles. I'm going to try and keep this short this morning so that we can do something else at the end of the service and I can sit down. Here we go. Says here, Mark chapter 2, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Now, some men, they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made a hole in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So that's basically what I want to speak on. I've brought some notes along with me this morning just in case I lose my way. People, I want to talk about holes. So I want to talk about holes this morning. And in this passage here, by the way, I have three new holes. And I'm not going to show you them. This church would empty in 10 seconds. But in this passage here, there are two holes, actually. And there's one hole that is absolutely obvious. And there's another hole in this passage that is hidden. Now, when it comes to the obvious hole, the storyline goes like this. There's these four mates. They've got a friend. He's doing life hard. He's a paralytic. And so these four guys, they put him on a stretcher. And they think, well, we'll get him to the nearest healer in town. They hear about this Jesus fellow. And they look at all this human traffic heading towards the house where Jesus is. And so they get to this house and they think, we'll get this guy inside. No sooner do they get to the house than they see that they can't get in. There are too many people. So then they do something highly unusual. They climb onto someone else's roof and they start digging a hole in someone else's roof. I don't know about your neighborhood, but my neighborhood where I live, digging holes in other people's roofs is still considered illegal and unsocial behavior. And so, but here we have these four guys. They dig a hole in someone else's roof and they lower this guy down towards Jesus. So that is the first hole. It's obvious. Did you notice the second hole in the text that I read? There was another hole in the text. Did you notice it? It's hidden. Talk to the person next to you about that one. Go to it. There's a lot of silence going on out there. You're not your usual chatting selves. I mean, it is a hidden hole. Okay, so let me expand on this morning. You see, this guy in this story, he had a physical issue. Okay? And he was laid out on a stretcher. Now, this last week, see, I'll die for a story. Nearly did. This last week, I had a physical issue, and I got laid out on a stretcher in a hospital. This guy in the story here, he thought his issue was being a paralytic. You see? And this last week, I thought my issue was food poisoning. So for those who haven't heard this wonderful story, and at the risk of boring those that have, let me tell you what happened. I returned from Australia a week ago Saturday, and I returned early Saturday morning from a week of speaking through a number of places in Australia. And I got back early in the morning. And that night, Saturday, all that night, Saturday morning, I was ill. I had stomach pains. And I thought, actually, that it was food poisoning. The reason why I thought it was food poisoning was because a week before, Ruby and I bought fish from the wrong fish place. And we both got food poisoning. So it was a natural deduction, you know. I thought, well, I've got food poisoning again. It's kicked back in. And it was pretty bad on Sunday. Remember when I rocked up here last Sunday morning, some of you said that I did look like death warmed up. Some of you said nothing much has changed. And then I got to Monday and it got worse. But then being the soldier that I am, I turned up here on Tuesday morning. And I walked into the office, and I don't know if Carol and Chris can remember. They said to me, "How are you, Mick?" And I said, "I'm feeling terrible." And I had these awful cramps in my stomach. And Adrian and Lionel Stewart were here. Now, for those who are new here this morning, Adrian and Lionel Stewart were pastors prior to myself. And we had them here last Sunday speaking. And so I was down to have a 9:30 coffee with them. And Adrian said to me, "Mick, how are you?" And I said, "I'm absolutely terrible." And she said, "You ring the doctor now." You know, she just gave me this command. So so I said, "Yes." Poor church having been under this couple. So I said, "Yes." So then and there, I rang up the doctor, and he said, "Come in as soon as you can." So I got into the dock, and they did various tests as they do. And then right then and there, they had me rushed into hospital. Instead of food poisoning, it was appendicitis. And goodness me, fancy having appendicitis at the age of 58. Goodness me. So here was this guy, and he thought, you know, his real issue was being a paralytic. And here was me, and I thought the real issue was being food poisoning. So what's the hidden hole in the passage? Now talk to the person next to you. Go to it. Have another discussion. Okay, you bright people, have you worked it out? Have you got it? Who thinks I've got it? Show of hands. Who thinks Mick shouldn't have come and taught this morning? Show of hands. Okay, it goes like this. I mean, this guy here, now I know it's a bit obscure, but this guy here, he was indulging in a bit of self-diagnosis. And there was a hole in his argument. Obscure? In other words, this guy thought the real issue was his being a paralytic, paralyzed. And then did you notice that when they brought this guy to Jesus, the first thing that Jesus did was not talk about his being in a paralytic state. Jesus saw something quite different. See, his self-diagnosis was, my presenting issue is being a paralytic. I did the same. I did some self-diagnosis. My presenting issue is food poisoning. But when Jesus dealt with this guy, he didn't talk about his being a paralytic at all initially. Jesus did something quite different. You see, what Jesus did, he looked deep down. Jesus could see something else in this guy. Something deep down in this guy's personality. Long buried hurts that needed the touch of forgiveness. Did you get that? The first thing that Jesus talked about was forgiveness. You see, I thought my self-diagnosis was food poisoning, but it was appendicitis. He thought that his presenting issue was paralysis, but actually Jesus saw that there was a hole in his argument. that something else at a deeper level was going on in this person's life. Are you with me now? Yeah. So, I felt, what could I share this morning? I want to share two R16 stories now. R16. Now, I do this at some risk, and I do it with sensitivity. I would like to think that we are an R16 church. What I mean by that is that we are a church of real stories. Not Sunday night stories, but we are a church of real stories. I mean, you're with me on this one, eh? Real stories. Now, what I'm saying, though, is that when you tell some stories, we're not accepting everything in a story, but we are inviting everything in a story. I mean, you've heard me say before, I do not subscribe to the view that God accepts us as we are. He's a holy and just God. He doesn't just accept us as we are, but he invites us as we are. Can you see the difference? So I want to share some stories that we will find unacceptable, and rightly so, but we invite everybody's story. Yes? Okay. There was this young guy by the name of Mitch. Mitch was a Christian, true story. Mitch was a Christian youth worker, full-time Christian youth worker. Do you know this guy, Mitch? He made it his practice weekly to go to a topless bar. So here is this, you know, this Christian youth pastor guy, and he made it his regular practice to go to a topless bar where girls would get their gear off and he would just sit there. Now, when he sort of came to himself and thought, this has got to stop, do you know what his self-diagnosis was? He understandably said to himself, oh, I've got a sex issue. But when he talked with someone with insight, there was a hole in his self-diagnosis. Actually, something quite different was going on in his life. And the person with insight said to Mitch, they said, Mitch, tell me where you sit when you go to the topless bar. And Mitch said, oh, I don't go sitting in the front row gawking. He said, I go sit and I park myself in the back row. And the person with insight said, why do you do that? And this guy said, I just like to sit, and I like to have one of the girls come, who's kind of loosely clad, yes, but come and sit down next to me, and all I want to do with her is tell her about my life and feel really good as I'm doing so in a safe environment. And then the person with insight said, tell me about your marriage. And Mitch opened up to the person of insight about his marriage, and he had one of those marriages where they just couldn't communicate. And he was just dying for female company that he could tell his real life dramas to, and it would be kind of safe. You see, what I'm trying to get at here, whereas he thought this was the presenting issue, the real issue, actually something else was going on. Are you with me now? Now, before you conclude that it's only guys that have problems with pornographic areas, let me tell you another R16 story. And I need to do this to equalize things. Sociologically, women are struggling in this area just as much as men. We always think it's the guys, but actually women are too. there was a lady by the name of Tammy. Tammy was married to a truck driver. And he had a low income, and she was an executive salaried person, and she was on a high salary. And they were trying to raise their five kids, and they really, really struggled. And so one day she said to her truck driver husband, how about you be a house husband, a home husband? You look after the kids, and I'll be the one that goes off to work. So that's how they did it. And because she was in an executive salaried kind of person, she had to travel a lot. And she ended up staying in a lot of hotels. And at night time, instead of kind of ringing up the kids or doing whatever, she would turn on the pornographic station on the TV in the hotel room. And she would just indulge in this pornography. Now, when this all came to light, you know, Tammy thought, when she did her self-diagnosis, that her issue was a sex issue. But when she got alongside a person of insight, the person of insight started to ask her about her life. And it all came out into the open. And she said, I have to work 60-hour day, 60-hour week, you know, and I'm looking after the kids. I've got a husband, and I've got life issues, you know. And she, as she told her story, it became very apparent to the person of insight that her real issue was stress overload. And so she was using pornography as what? A form of stress relief. So the real issue for her was not a sexual one. It was all around managing her week better. Are you with me? See, I thought my real issue was food poisoning. And yet it was appendicitis. And the guy in the passage, he thought it was being paralyzed. And yet, deep down in his life, he had long buried hurts that needed the touch of forgiveness. See, there was a hole in his self-diagnosis. And Mitch and Tammy, they both thought that their issues were sex issues, and yet their real issues lay elsewhere. So I've got to finish it up. People, let me speak to you as a shepherd. When you get to this time of the year, I have noticed with people that they overindulge in self-diagnosis. I've been around so many circles now. There are people in the later part of November, they replay the tape of the year. And you know how it is, come this time of the year, we can end up making a self-diagnosis. And I want to say to you, don't do it. No more self-diagnosing at the end of the year. Give yourselves a break. Because what I reckon actually is that, one, you're probably wrong in what you come up with. And two, I've noticed with most people, they are way too hard on themselves. Am I right or am I right? So what I want to say as we come to the end of the year is don't fall into the trap of saying, oh, I am this, or I am that, or, you know, woe that I was ever born, or, you know, we just do this navel gazing, which I'm definitely not doing, but we just kind of do this ruthless self-diagnosis. And we're way too hard on ourselves. and invariably wrong. Did you like that? So from now to the end of the year, breathe. I want you, everyone, to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. I want us all to breathe in. Just breathe in. By the way, I had to do this in the hospital, so, you know. Just breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in again. And breathe out. Breathe in again. And breathe out. People, breathe. For the rest of the year, breathe. And in December, smile. But for the rest of November, breathe. Don't be too hard on yourselves. Invariably, you will be wrong. Because we are usually way too hard on ourselves. Did you like that? Okay, that's all I've got to say. We've got Glenn, who's just going to come up and interview a few people. Yeah. Bless you.